Blog Talk Radio.
God, and my heart is full of joy. Good evening, I'm your host, Seth Ball. Tonight we are sharing the faith, and we are sharing our favorite devotion. If you have a devotion that you like to share, and you'd like to share with many other people, I would love for you to call in at 347-989-0056 and share your favorite devotion to the saints, Mary, a favorite chaplet or litany you have found over the years. I would love if you could come on and share that. I would now like to welcome our co-host, Chase, to the show. Hello, Chase. How are you?
Good. Just chewing gum like a fool. I'm just trying to make sure the weather stays warm enough so I can do something special.
I see. Well, tonight we're talking about devotion and our favorite devotion. So the first thing I'm going to do is go over different devotions that the church has actually had. They're separated in different categories, you see. So the first devotion I want to talk to you guys about is devotions of the Holy Trinity. Okay? And the Feast of the Holy Trinity is a devotional day celebrated on the first Sunday after Pentecost and honors three persons of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A novena to the Holy Trinity, may include the Glory Be prayer as well as other prayers, although the other prayers may vary. According to Fatima Sister Lucia Santos, in late September or October 1916, the angel of peace appeared for the third time to herself and the other visionaries, her cousins Francisco and Juanita Morato, and taught them a prayer of reparation to the Holy Trinity. Wow. So if you if you don't have a devotion with God, Jesus, or, you know, ask the Spirit to come descend upon you, often this might be a good devotion for you to pick up. And also, you could throw in Our Lady of Fatima in there, because I just talked about her. Now, the devotion to Jesus. This is one of our biggest devotions in the church, because this is who we worship. However, a lot of people do different prayers to Jesus privately, and then they go into their devotion. But perhaps you want to know more about the devotion to Jesus, you know. So I'll just talk about it real quick. Several widespread devotions in the Catholic Church relate to Jesus directly. Eucharistic adoration. There's also holy hours, Eucharistic adoration hours, you know. There's also, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, the Divine Mercy Chaplet from Saint Faustina Kowalska, known as the Apostle of Mercy. We just passed the First Friday devotions, which are related to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Holy Face of Jesus devotion, that dates back to Sister Marie of St. Peter in 1843, who reported visions of Jesus and Mary in which she was urged to spread the devotion to the Holy Face in reparation for the many insults Jesus suffered in his passion. The result, the entire thing that the sister did, Sister Mary of St. Peter did, it resulted in the Golden Arrow Holy Face devotion. Now, I'm going to go ahead and bring Chase back on real quick. Chase, have you ever heard of that? The Golden Arrow Holy Face devotion? I have personally never heard of that before. I might have to click that and figure out what that is. But the devotion was approved by Pope Leo in 1885. Later, Sister Maria Pierni di, I'm terrible with these names, Michelli, I think that's it, further promoted the devotion based on the image from Pia's photograph of the Shroud of Turin. And in 1958, Pope Pius approved of the devotion and the Holy Face medal and confirmed the Feast of the Holy Face of Jesus as Shrove Tuesday, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, which is for all. I did not know that. Of Shrove Tuesday, did you, Chase?
I don't know if I knew that or not.
Because I figured I would have celebrated that a few weeks ago, but I've never heard of it. But so the other devotions, you know, that we are probably most familiar with is the Divine Mercy, the First Friday, which is in relation to Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the Chaplet of the Five Wounds. I want to see something real quick. The Chaplet of the Five Wounds, is that like the Chaplet of the Precious Blood? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. So, Chapel of Five Wounds or Chapel of the Precious Blood. Me, personally, I love the Precious Blood devotion. So, something that many Catholics are well aware of, Marian devotions. There's a wide range of Marian devotions, and they are practiced by Roman Catholics. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, item 971, states, the Church's devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary is intrinsic to Christian worship. In 1993, Pope John Paul II encouraged priests to foster devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Some beliefs about the Marian devotions have been asserted by the saints and theologians, but have not been dogmatically approved by the Church. An example in that belief that Marian devotions are a sign of predestination, supported by St. Bernard and St. Bonaventure, and also St. Alphonsus of Liguori, as well as Reverend Garrigo Lagrange. In his apostolic letter, Rosium Virginis Mariae, Pope John Paul II emphasized the importance of Marian devotions by quoting Louis de Montfort. He says this, since Mary is of all creatures, the one who confirmed of Jesus Christ, it follows that among all devotions, that which most consecrates and confirms a soul to our Lord is devotion to Mary, his Holy Mother, and that the more a soul is consecrated to her, the more it will be consecrated to Jesus. So there are many, many, many devotions. They include the Immaculate Conception, through the intercession of Maximilian Kolbe, the consecration to the Immaculata, which we just talked about that. Chase, were you on that episode where we talked about the Immaculata?
No.
It's a good one. If you have not listened to it and you're listening, go back a few days. It was this past week. We talked about St. Maximilian Kolbe and his militia that he started. We spent about 45 minutes talking about it, and it was a good one. It was a good one. Personally, you get enrolled in the militia. and I'm enrolled in it, so I figured I would go ahead and do that. But let's continue. Our Lady of Lourdes is a good one, and that's how St. Maximilian Kolbe came to the Immaculata consecration, is from the messages of Our Lady of Lourdes. Among the many Roman Catholic prayers and devotions, rosary devotions and spirituality are among the most prominent and most often recited prayers. Wow. The Secret of the Rosary discusses, that's St. Louis de Montfort's book, discusses the religious and mystical views of the rosary from multiple perspectives. The Holy Scapular is a good one, although it started by the end of the Middle Ages, it had taken on a distinct the Marian tone, and it was originally called one of the main Marian devotions to Christendom. Wow. So the rosary and scapular are devotions supported by a number of Catholic figures such as popes, saints, cardinals, and specific promises and indulgence have been associated with them. But other ones involved that maybe we are familiar with are Marian apparitions approved, such as Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, or Our Lady of Akita, as well as a multitude of regional devotions across the continents, from Our Lady of Good Health in India to Our Lady, oh gosh, I don't know. Do you know anything about Polish, Chase?
I have friends that are Polish. Does that count?
Our Lady of Lichen? I don't know. Lichen?
Yeah, I think that's how you say that. I mean, my ability to speak Polish is limited, but I can identify Polish words pretty easily if I see them.
Yeah, it's Lichen. And I think I'm Lichen. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
But the other Marian devotions include the first five first Saturdays, the seven joys of Mary, and the seven sorrows of Mary. I think many of the main ones that me and Chase both do are the rosary devotion, as well as other devotions to Our Lady. Chase, do you have a specific devotion to Our Lady, like Our Lady of Guadalupe or something
yes.
along the lines of that?
Yes, I have a good devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I have a button of her that I got from New Mexico last year, and I put it on every day like it's my ID badge. It's one of my favorite Marian apparitions. I mean, I sometimes consider myself part Mexican at heart. But I don't have any Mexican heritage in actuality, but I do like her quite a bit, and I'm well aware.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, there was another Guadalupe way before the Mexican one, but I think I'll save that other one for another time.
Okay. We're going to move right along. Well, let me go ahead and tell you my Marian devotion. That sounds good, doesn't it? Now, personally, when I first started my conversion, I loved the Our Lady of Grace. The two statues I have, Our Lady, are both, they're the exact same statue, except one's 20 inches and one's 9 inches. But it's both Our Lady of Grace by St. Joseph's Studio. However, this past New Year, I came across this website. And basically, you click something and you're asked to pray. And then by the time you're done praying, a saint name pops up. And I did that. And I was like, so this will be my patron saint for the new year, you know? And it just so happened that it was Our Lady Guadalupe. But I have a big picture of her up on my altar that I've been doing. I put up there, I also wrote a prayer to her at the beginning of the year as well. But now we're going to move on to the devotions of saints. And then we'll go to a break, okay? So in Catholic teachings, saints in heaven have lasting links with humanity, which can provide an abundance of good for the faithful. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, it is not merely by the title of example that we cherish the memory of those in heaven. We seek, rather, that by this devotion to the exercise of fraternal charity, the union of the Holy Church and the Spirit may be strengthened, exactly as Christian communion among our fellow pilgrims brings us closer to Christ. So our communion with the saints joins us to Christ. Devotions to the saints may involve specific prayers or acts, such as the naming of schools or children after them. Some devotions seek the intercession of saints, submitting specific petitions to them. Chase, I know you have a handful of patron saints. Would you dare to share those with us?
Yes, I have. Sorry. I have quite about 12 different ones. Joseph, and let's see, I also have another one named Jose Maria Escriva, Spaniard priest, and let's see, Saint Anthony, of course, who doesn't know about him? Francis of Assisi, and so forth. I mean, that's all I can think of right now. I have a list of them at my house, but I'm not at my house right now.
Oh, yeah. No
problem. Those are the only ones I can think of right now.
For me, I love, well, my confirmation and baptism saint is John Paul II.
Nice.
But also, when I first started my conversion, I had to write a paper up and give it to the church on who I wanted to be my patron saint. And at first, I chose Saint Michael the Archangel. So I went out and I bought a statue of Saint Michael, and I got a little chapel to him, and I got that, and I started praying, you know. And then later along, I got a statue of Saint, I got a little statue of, well, it was some saint. I can't think of it right now. I'm trying to look up on my altar and see who it is. Saint Benedict, yeah, that's it. Saint Benedict. And then I decided that I didn't like either. Well, I didn't. Not that I didn't like them, but I was like, these really don't fit me. That's not really who I am. So I picked John Paul II.
You know,
different things can happen. I have all statues of them up on my altar. My little home altar, and they're up there. They're my patrons. I go into battle with them. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to take your calls. The guest call-in number is 347-989-0056.
There's a way of life where simplicity brings joy, and humility leads to happiness. Where we learn that less is more, and in giving, we receive. It's our refuge from chaos, and light to guide us through darkness. It's a place where the broken receive healing, and repentant hearts find mercy. Here, our days are set free from anxiety and addictions, and our nights rest with more peace. So, where is this hope, and who knows the way? Our hope rests in Jesus, and His church leads the way. If you're longing to fill an emptiness or seeking a way home, we invite you to experience the peace that only comes from God. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
If you're falling away from the church, or perhaps not even Catholic in discerning the religion, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. And we want to really bring you home to the church. If you want more information on how to become Catholic or to come home to the church, don't hesitate to contact me at catholic.teen.sb@gmail.com or go to catholicscomehome.com. Chase, we have a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Area code 254. You're on the air.
Howdy. How you doing there, Seth?
Hi, Donald. How are you?
Good. I just thought I would call in. I liked what your topic for tonight, you know, Eucharistic adoration, divine mercy,
yeah.
The stations of the cross is another one there that I've heard mentioned. But it's a great one. That one became very popular in the Middle Ages as a result of Israel in the Holy Land being taken over by the Muslims. And so they started putting the stations of the cross inside every Catholic church so they wouldn't have to take that very dangerous journey. Kind of interesting when you see that.
Wow. Well,
St. Francis had a lot to do with that, as well as having a lot to do with putting up a Christmas scene back in the Middle Ages as well. You know, they used the Christmas scene to inspire the season of Christmas. It was the Council of Tours in 587 A.D. that started both the season of Advent and the season of Christmas, which is a 12-day season as far as Christmas. But those were, I mean, the opportunity of devotion is so important within the context of the seasons of the church. But when you look at what it says, I like this, what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. It says, avoid profane and silly myths. Train yourself for devotion, which is what you all are talking about. Train yourself for devotion. For while physical training is of limited value, and for guys like me who've been an athlete most of their lives and soldier and all this, that's very important. Physical training is of limited value. Devotion is valuable in every respect, since it holds a promise of life both for the present and for the future. And I'll tell you, when I was in Iraq, for example, some of the devotion that soldiers would do before they would go out on patrols, they would recite Psalms 23. Sometimes they would cite Psalms 91. Citing the Psalms is something that has a long tradition in the Catholic Church. If you ever get a chance to go to a Benedictine monastery where the monks are, it's beautiful the way they sing, especially when they go from odds, even in odds as far as the scriptures. You know, you read the evens and I read the odds, and when they sing it back and forth together, oh, it's just beautiful. Oh, yeah. And when they sing 150 psalms, that's a lot.
Yes, it is. Thanks for your service.
Yep, it's good stuff. But this is excellent. You guys are doing great.
Wow. I'm glad you brought up the Stations of the Cross. The page I'm using, it didn't even have that on there, but that should have been under Devotion to Jesus. I'm glad
there's
you brought
something...
that up. I didn't even think about that.
There's something that you mentioned earlier about the golden arrow. This prayer was revealed by our Lord to a Carmelite nun of Tours in 1843 as a reparation for blasphemy. I would say this. In fact, I say this prayer every Mass. At the end of praying, at the end of when I receive Holy Communion, I always said this prayer: may the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. By praying that, you're basically countering, if you will, the blasphemy that is happening all over the world.
Wow.
And so... the Lord makes it simple for us because He loves us, man.
He has
to, especially for guys like me, because it has to be simple. But you guys are up and coming. Now tell me, Seth, who's this co-host you got?
It's Chase.
His name is Chase?
Yep.
All right, Chase, who are you chasing?
What am I what?
Chasing, Chase.
Okay, I'm chasing after a nice girl from the United Arab Emirates for a possible conversion.
Oh, now that is, that's a good comeback.
Yes, because I often use the charisma of Bishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Now, wait a second. I tell you what, now, he is awesome. You want a good devotion?
Yeah.
He will set you straight.
Oh, yes, he will. I look up to him as a hero. Believe it or not, he was not born Fulton Sheen. He was born Peter John Sheen.
Well, that's good. That's
yeah,
very
Peter's
good.
His real name.
Yep, I'd name my daughter Petra Marie, in honor of the Pope. And so when you name your son Peter, that's who you're honoring. You're honoring Peter. And so.
Yeah.
Thank
so you. Guys
you.
Are
Thank
talking
for your
about
service to our country.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. And thank you for what you guys are doing, because that's exactly what it's all about. Standing up for family, standing up for the freedom of religion, standing up for our right to be able to pray, to do what we're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are sharing that freedom that we have and being able to proclaim God's word. And this is something that St. Pope John Paul II and the, you know, Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI, both of them encourage strongly to utilize the media to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
And so with Blog Talk Radio, it's great to see Catholics getting involved in this and getting God's word out there. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
So you and Seth, this is the Seth and Chase show. Is this what this is kind of what this is?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
And Chase, where are you from?
I live in Western Texas. I mean, the city where I live has quite a few stories to it. And one of my aunts, before she passed away in 2012, God rest her soul, used to live next door to Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, wow. Tommy Lee Jones. I like
Tommy
Lee Jones.
Yeah, people love him. People love him.
Well, I liked him a lot in Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hope Harrison Ford gets better.
Yeah, he's going to be all right from what I understand. This would just add to his ego.
Yeah.
Surviving a plane crash. But you don't want to do that for real. But I'm glad that he's going to be okay, it looks like. And that's the whole thing about prayer. It's important. That's why you pray for people. I think devotion, prayer, I think prayer from the heart, too. You guys are coming up with some great devotions, but prayer from the heart, you know, to just simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That is that's a devotion in itself. Doing the sign of the cross when you pray before meals, or any time you pray doing the sign of the cross, that is a devotion in itself.
Yeah.
And so devotion is very important, as I was just showing what the scripture said about it. And the scriptures is a great devotion too. Like I was saying, in the book of Psalms, you can pray the Psalms and, you know, give God praise. You can do it in music, as Seth will tell you when you listen to our show. We play a lot of music, don't we, Seth?
Yes, you do.
But that's good. That's good, because we want to praise the Lord in his sanctuary. We want to praise him in song. In fact, when you sing praise, you're praying twice. I believe that was St. Augustine that said that.
Yeah.
So to pray the rosary, sometimes we do the rosary. I have a devotion of the rosary that it's all sung. Oh, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially when you got people who can sing. You know, somebody like myself who's not noted for singing, we let the big boys and gals who can sing. I mean, we want to keep our viewership growing. And so I try not to say as much as possible. But you guys are doing a good job. I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you. Well, where were we? I think we were getting ready towards the end of our little talk. And the next thing that me and Chase I brought up was the home altar. And I know this is going around that many more people are adding this into their homes. And simply because we at our homes are the domestic church. We are the church away from church. We are the universal parishioners. So when we go to our house, after church, we have to, you know, have time where we can pray at our house. Not necessarily have to go all the way to church to pray. Have something to ponder at, just like we ponder on the crucifix at Mass. And this practice dates back to the early Christians who used to pray in their homes, even before churches were built for public worship. And a home altar, a cross is usually hanging on the wall, and images of Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and saints may be displayed, along with a copy of a book or other devotional literature. And, you know, these Catholic devotional practices are also so wide and ranging at a local level that the Catholics in one part of the world may be totally unaware of the local devotional practice in another corner of the world. For instance, devotion to and the despising of Hedwig of Poland and Mexico are virtually unknown to other Catholics. And she remains relatively unknown outside Poland. In fact, despite having Spanish influences on their origin, many of the devotions practiced in Mexico are now quite distinct from those practices in Spain. Wow. So you can have your own devotion. Well, you know, part of the devotion comes along with, in the United States, the Immaculate Conception. Somewhere else in the world, the Immaculate Conception may not even be that big as a church is devoted to her and such like that. Donald, are you still on the line?
I sure am.
I was wondering if you had a home altar or shrine.
Say that again?
I was wondering if you had a home altar or shrine.
I guess you would call it a shrine because you have a place where you kind of spend your time in prayer and dedication, and you put your statues or your religious pictures, your icons, and those kinds of things. It's just as simple. It's a visualization when you pray. That's all it is.
Yep.
You can do it anywhere. And when I was in the Army, especially like when we were in Iraq, I was a Eucharistic minister, so I would be able to take the Eucharist to soldiers in the field. And I would have the Lord with me. And so I would have a place where I would maintain. Yeah, it was like David dancing before the ark, man. The ark of the old covenant. So I never danced without no clothes on. I would never do that. Like David.
But it's pretty neat.
It's such a wonderful thing. And I would encourage you in your own parishes to seek to doing whatever the Lord might be calling you to do in service, as altar service, or Eucharistic ministers, or lectors, or greeters, or whatever that's going on, leading Bible studies. You two guys look like you might be good candidates in getting involved in your parish Bible studies, getting that kind of going.
Yeah. Currently, I'm an usher at church, but if you're listening out there, if you have liked to reach out to young people, you know, and you want to, you know, perhaps say you did not do well through your youthhood, your golden years, and you want to help other kids perhaps going through the same thing, try going to your youth group at your church and being a small group leader or something along the lines of that. I know we have that at my parish, and it's pretty neat to see, you know, the adults share their connections from their lives to what life's to our teenage years now. And that in itself can be a devotion.
That's critical. That's critical.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's critical.
Yeah. So tonight we talked about devotions, and I challenge my viewers on YouTube this week to pick their devotion. So say maybe you have a devotion to Our Lady. Maybe it's time for you to pick up a second devotion to your favorite saint, something along the lines of that. And I said in my video, I said, if you do not know where to start, don't hesitate contacting me. In my email, you can contact me if you want help on finding a different devotion that appeals to you and what you like to do. You can email me at catholic.keen.sb@gmail.com. And personally, I have not been able to share my own little devotion that I love so much. And Donald himself just got known to this, well, it's a prayer group online. It's called the Precious Blood of Jesus. And we just talked about that a minute ago, and I asked, it was the same thing, the five wound chaplet. But this thing is big, widespread book of all these devotions that are devoted to the precious blood of Jesus, mainly to Jesus. And it's something I've been doing this since, January now, and I love it. There's just been so many miracles occur with this. And just recently, it's still in progress, but I witnessed my own little miracle. My relative of mine, Karen, she's 70 years old, and February 14th, her and her husband went to Florida to visit some other relatives of mine, and they haven't been able to go in years because Karen is very, very ill. Not ill as in she's, you know, sick, but ill inside of her body where she may not feel motivated. And for the past few years of her life, she's had to eat only through a tube. She can't eat any other types of food. And they went down to Florida to visit my cousin Babe. And she owns a bar down there in Ormond, Florida. And they were there, and they had four good days. Four good days, which was a surprise. They thought maybe they'd have to leave early, you know. Four good days, and they haven't been there in years? Awesome. Well, on the fifth day, Karen slept all day long. And by the next morning, Alan, her husband, had taken her to the ER. She had bacteria, ammonia, and she had this other kind of ammonia as well. She went to something called a septic shock. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I'm guessing it's bad. it's like a coma-like condition. She went to septic shock, and she's on a vent. Critical level ammonia in her blood, and that's keeping her unconscious. She has both sepsis and bacterial ammonia. And Wednesday, the day that I found this out, I went onto the precious call line and I let everyone know what was going on. And one of the gentlemen on the pages on the group, he offered her up. He said a special prayer for Karen. On Friday, her ammonia level went down to 95, which is good. We still continue to pray. And this morning, I woke up, checked Facebook, and her ammonia level is now down to, she's scheduled to have surgery on Monday, and she's gradually going to start coming along and waking up. But from 108 on Wednesday to 60 this morning, that is a miracle. We thought she was going to no longer be with us. And so we offered her up to the precious blood, and now it's all turning out for the better glory of God. And we just shared that today on the prayer call line. I don't even know what to call it. But if you all could keep her in the prayers, that'd be great. Donald, thank you for calling in. I'll be listening to your show later tonight. It's always great. And for those of you who are listening to my show and don't know who Donald is, Donald has his own show. It's called Deeper Truth, and he does it every day, roughly, at, I believe, 9 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Central, if I have that correct. Is that right, Donald?
Sometimes it's between 7 and 8, and then depends on the circumstance. Sometimes it would go from 8 to 9 your time.
Yeah. Either way, you should be all for it, and you have no excuses on missing it.
Well, you know,
but
well, this is an important medium because last year we helped over 500,000 fallen away Catholics come back to the church. This is a very important medium, or means, I guess you'd say, to get to reach people. Facebook, YouTube, as you're using. If you can help one person, Seth, you and Chase, if you two guys can help what you're doing, help one person, that is, you know, the prodigal son. That's the scripture today. If you remember the scripture for today, that is very important because the scripture, the gospel reading is about the prodigal son. And, you know, and you've heard me say it before, that the Lord would leave the 99 to go out there after the one who's gone astray. So our work is set out for us, and this is just, this gives us a means by which we can do our part.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Donald, again for calling in tonight to the show. We are actually in overtime. We're going about 45 minutes. But I'd like to let you all know that tomorrow we'll be back at noon to break open the gospel, which is also always one of my favorite things I get to do during out the week, and one of my favorite shows that I get to do, because it's at noon, and because it's kind of, you know, in the middle of the day, we're beginning to come home from church or getting ready if we go in the evening, and we get to, you know, see what the gospel really is about, because not always the priest touches on the gospel. We'll also have our original co-host Diane back with us tomorrow. She is out of town tonight and could not make it. So Chase filled in for her. So we'll have a blessed Sunday. If you have not went to Mass on the vigil day today, you need to go tomorrow and receive our Lord. It is highly recommended of me, Donald, and all the parishioners that you receive Jesus and the Holy Sacrament. I have one more announcement before I go, and that is to find your favorite devotion. God bless and good night. Good night, Donald.
Good night.
Of course.